Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14. That's a big hunk, but they all go together. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14. Let's read the text because it really goes well together, and then we'll discuss what we're going to do. Now, keep in mind as we read this, we're going to be preaching about the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised, the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now that's Paul's testimony before he got saved. Circumcised, Israel, Benjamin, Pharisee, zeal, persecuting the church, blameless according to the law. That is a big boast, and he wouldn't have done it if it wasn't so. But watch what happened. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the powers of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a big text there, but everything that is said here surrounds one common theme, and that is that Paul wanted to do what he did in the power of Christ's resurrection. He said here, in the text, as you read here in verse 10, he says that I might know him and, watch it, the power of his resurrection. In verse 12, he said, not as though I'd already attained. Well, he knew he was going to be raptured and he knew he was going to be resurrected. That wasn't the problem. He wanted that power now. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended in of Christ Jesus. He wanted to be able to have the power of that resurrection working in his life and in his body and in his soul and in his spirit, even now, like he said in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He knew he was going to resurrect from the dead. It's not a matter of guessing that thing. He knew that all the way from the time he got saved until the time he wrote Timothy and said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew he was going to stand before the Lord. But he wanted that power and that resurrection of the dead working in his life now. You know something? We can live according to the power of Christ's resurrection. The same power that got him up out of the grave is in us. Listen, when you were baptized, they didn't leave you under the water. When you were baptized, they brought you up out of the water simply to show that you are living in the power of the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ now, but so many people don't tap into that power. And we've got to do some things to tap into that power. Wouldn't you like to operate in the power of the resurrection? Wouldn't you like to have a greater power of the resurrection of Christ in you? Paul sure wanted it, and he wanted it now, and he didn't want it for selfish reasons. Now, what does it take? Well, the first thing it takes, according to verses 4 through 8, is you've got to lose your religion. You've got to lose your accomplishments. He said, though I might have confidence in the flesh, just because he was circumcised, just because he was in the stock of Israel, just because he was of the tribe of Benjamin, just because he was a Pharisee, just because he had zeal, just because he zealously persecuted the church, just because he was blameless according to the righteousness of the law. He looked at all that stuff and he said, loss. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He counted them so much loss for Christ. You know what he said? He said, I do count them but dung. People say, they criticize this Bible here for not being common enough and understandable enough. There's not a modern Bible on the market that handles that word the way that you would handle it with another four-letter word to replace that. Dung is the closest thing to it without going totally slang, and everything else covers it like refuse and garbage. Man, do you not understand what he counted that stuff? He looked at that stuff and he said, that thing is excrement in so many words. A lot less letters than the one I just used. He said he counted that stuff but lost. You got to lose your religion, man. Well, look, when people get saved and they try to hang on to that family religion thing that they grew up in, it becomes a hindrance and a snare because you're trying to please the family and their religious zeal on the one side, and then you're trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ on the other side. And I know you've tried it, and I know you have found it very frustrating and found that it does not work at all. Now, how unlike the old Pharisee would a modern Christian be if they quit worrying about putting on religious airs and looking like something in their religion? Who cares what committee you served on, really? Who cares whether or not you're a deacon in the church, really? Who cares whether you are an administrator in the church or trustee in the church or whatever you are? Who really cares about that? You got to lose that religion. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Who cares that you're the choir leader or the Sunday school teacher? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And you know what the Lord said? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. That's the publican who said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Religion is designed to exalt you, because it gives you the satisfaction that you are keeping the dictates of your religion. Let's say you're a Seventh-day Adventist, and then you're abiding by the rules of your church and abiding by the law as best as you can. That puffs you up. It causes you to condescend upon people like me who depend simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. Let's say you're a good Mormon or a good Jehovah's Witness or a good Presbyterian or a good Methodist, and you've had your baptism and you're keeping your catechism and you're doing the things in the church and serving on your committees, a good Episcopalian or whatever else you are. There's a certain a smug satisfaction that you are doing what is required of your religion in order to get into heaven. The Lord says you got to lose that stuff, man. That's what Paul said. He said, those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Counted them but dung. Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's say you're the biggest big shot that ever was and had all the religious titles to go along with it. Who really cares? Not God. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You got to lose that stuff. It is a hindrance to you relying upon the power of Christ, because you're relying upon the power of your accomplishments. That won't work. It didn't work in Paul's life. It won't work in your life. It won't work in my life. We got to leave that stuff behind. All right, the second thing you have to do is you have to know Christ personally. Now, you understand that Paul was already saved when he wrote this. This isn't about getting saved. This is about actually having sweet, personal, regular, daily fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to know him personally. You see here he says in verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He says in verse 10, that I may know him. You know, there is so much to know about the Lord Jesus Christ besides just his saving grace, which was great in itself, just besides his blood that was shed to save you from your sins and save you from hell. There's so much more to know about him. But every day you and I need to seek for the Lord Jesus Christ by having fellowship with the author of the Bible in daily Bible reading and in daily prayer. That's what he wants us to do, is he wants us to come to him and get to know him better and better and better. Listen, in marriage, you get to know your spouse better and better and better over the years. And in families, you get to know your children better and better and better over the years. I'm finding that as much as I loved my children and my wife when everybody was first getting started together, how much more I love my children and my wife now that we've been together for years. It's just the way it is. And Christ, I know him better. I want to know him more every day. More than just his saving power, I want to know him. Look, the Bible, John, the one that was the closest of all disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote in 1 John chapter 1, he said this, "Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." Ooh, there's great joy and rejoicing in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ personally, daily, in sweet personal fellowship. All right, what's the third thing that you and I need to do in order to be able to enjoy sweet the power of Christ's resurrection? You got to lose that old religion. That's just in the way. Christ was not religious. He fulfilled the law, but he was far from religious. They accused him of breaking the Sabbath. They accused him of hanging around the publicans, so they called him a glutton and a drunkard. You remember all that? That's because he never put on religious airs, didn't even bother to wash his hands before he ate a meal. He was anything but religious. However, he was very spiritual. You got to lose that religious stuff. You got to lose that this looks good to the rest of the men on this earth. Quit caring about that and wonder how it compares to Christ and how it compares to God. Lose that religion. You got to know Christ personally. And the third thing you have to do is live by faith. Live by faith. Look what he says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that's works, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So you've got to live by faith. Well, what's that? That's the opposite of living by sight. Everybody wants it laid out for them so they have real assurance. Everybody wants to play it close to the cuff and know exactly what they're going to get out of everything that they put their life and time into. God said to Abraham, "You get out of here. You journey out. Go to another land. Where am I going?" "Well, I'll tell you when you get there." What did he get? Well, he gained the possession of the land of Canaan. Noah, get in a boat. What for? "I'm going to destroy the earth." "And me?" He said, "You'll see when you get through." When he got through, he was the possessor of the whole earth. That's faith. See, Abraham sacrificed your only begotten son. Well, then what? We'll just wait and see. He offered him up. God never let him kill him. He provided a sacrificial ram. And Isaac became the heir of the whole promises that were given to Abraham, and everything flowed down through him. That's faith. That's faith. Rahab, "All right, I'll hide my family in the room. Y'all tear down the whole city of Jericho. Save me." Faith. Faith. It's no absolute assurance in anything except for what God said. You put everything else aside and hold up this Word of God. If God said that, and it's in the Word of God, you can count on it and live by it. And better, because the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Diligently seek Him. See that? Knowing Christ personally, that living by faith. You know, it's a strange thing how we get justified by faith, by trusting what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary, and then somehow or another we got to establish our own continual righteousness by working it in such a way that if we don't, we could possibly lose our salvation. That's nonsense. If you're saved by faith, you're going to be kept by faith, not by works. They going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That puts it to the end when you have Christ. Now you just live by faith. Live by faith. Listen, you get all puffy about how good you are by living in works. That's what Galatians was all about, which we studied recently. Galatians chapter 3, Paul got on those Galatians and he says, "Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" He said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Of course not. Well, then abandon that stuff and live by faith. Well, said, well, I'm having a hard time trusting Christ. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, if you do and you live by faith, you are going to realize that there is a power greater than having assurance and certainty about the future. There's a power greater than that. That's the power of the resurrection of the Lord God that would allow you to go into unknown circumstances by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that with the power that resides in you, the thing's going to come out right on the other end. That's faith. All right? In order to enjoy and have and develop and build upon the power of Christ's resurrection, you've got to lose your religion. You've got to know Christ personally every day. You've got to live by faith, and you've got to suffer with him. You've got to suffer with Christ. Look at verse 10. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings. Listen, the Christian life, when it's lived as the Christian life should be lived, is a life of suffering. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there's a reason for it. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We enjoy the inheritance and glory in Christ Jesus because we've suffered with him down here. You know, this is the most anti-suffering Christianity that's probably ever been. This is the Christianity of people that want riches and wealth and, hey, I get a nosebleed, heal me. I get financial distress, give me money. That's this society we live in. Give me, give me, give me. Give me health. Give me money. Give me a bigger house. Give me a bigger car. Give me a better job. Give me more notoriety. Give me a bigger church. Give me more members. Give me a bigger pulpit. Give me, give me, give me. That's this generation we live in. But not Paul's generation, not Christ's generation. He suffered need. He suffered persecution. He suffered reproach. He suffered infirmity. All for Christ. Jesus Christ suffered pain and agony, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, betrayal, the crucifixion for our salvation. And you think you're going to get by scot-free without suffering? Not if you're going to have the power of his resurrection working in you. What do you need the power of his resurrection working in you if you're not suffering? The power of his resurrection was enjoyed following the death of the cross and the burial in another man's tomb. Now, when you suffer, you're going to reign with him, and in order to reign with him, you've got to have power. Well, listen, no reign with no suffering. No reign, no gain without pain. No cross, no crown. You're going to have to suffer, and that's hard. But in your suffering is where you begin to realize and enjoy and capitalize on the power of Christ's resurrection in your life. Now, if you're going to stay holed up in your house all the time, you're not going to tell others about Christ. You're going to go to your business, and you're not going to say a word about Christ. And you're going to behave yourself in church and just be a good little boy, pay a little bit of money, and go back to the house and be satisfied to watch a little football and watch a little tennis and, you know, get along with the good boys and have your little neighborhood parties and all that other kind. You're going to do all that kind of stuff. Well, you're never going to understand what it is to suffer with Christ and suffer for Christ. And in consequence, you're never going to need the power of his resurrection. You'll never know what it's like to have it. Boy, I'll tell you what we need is some men and women today with moral courage that are willing to stand up, be counted with Christ, and willing to take a beating for the Lord. Amen. All right, what else do you need? In order to have the power of his resurrection, you got to die daily. In Romans chapter 6, you got to die daily. He said being made conformable unto his death in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Being made conformable unto his death. And that's what Paul told us in Romans chapter 6, verse 11. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Well, the only way to do that is to be living a crucified life, conformable to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, dead to sin. You are to mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit in order to have life. You've got to die daily. That's what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, very succinctly, I die daily. Now, when was the last time you died? To self. To self-desires, to self-opinions, to self-thoughts, to self-righteousness, to self-esteem, to self-promotion, to self-pride, to self-fulfillment, to self-gratification. When was the last time you died to all that stuff? Well, it's no wonder that you're not enjoying the power of His resurrection. When you're living in the flesh, you cannot please God. When you're living in the flesh, there's no need for the power of His resurrection. Don't you remember that when Christ died, they buried His body in a grave? That's the end of the flesh. Now, when He came up, He came back into a glorified body, but it was no longer tempted by sin. It was no longer hungry. It was no longer thirsty. It was no longer tired. He was out of that body. And that's where the power of His resurrection was really known. Now, we get to have the same kind of experience because Christ says we get to live a crucified life. And by dying daily, we enjoy the power of His resurrection. But if you're going to always want your way, your thoughts, your ambitions, your desires, there's no need for that. You'll never have it. So you got to lose your religion. Matter of fact, when Christ finished up His reign here in the earth, or not reign, but His ministry here in the earth, we didn't continue on with Pharisaical Judaism. That all comes back later. He changed it to Christianity. He lost the religion. Know Christ personally as He knew God daily in prayer and in relying upon everything and did always those things that pleased His Father. That's the life of faith, which He had. He stilled the seas. He said, faith, man. He healed the sick. Faith. He made the blind to see. Faith. He learned not knowing letters by faith. That's the way He did those things. He suffered like you're going to have to suffer, and He died like you're going to have to die daily. What else? You got to fulfill God's plan. Look at verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus saved Paul for a reason. He told him you're a chosen vessel, and He saved you for a reason. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now listen, the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. God lays out His will for you in the Bible. He says His will for you is sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. His will for your life is that in everything you give thanks. His will for your life is that you live a living sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants you to be a living sacrifice. You got to fulfill His plan. What is God's plan for your life? Do you have a clue? The best way to prepare for it is to do what you ought to do today. You'll never know the plan if you're not living a sanctified life, offering thanksgiving to God in everything and presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And then doing today what you need to do and not putting it off tomorrow. Then you will rely upon the power of His resurrection, because to fulfill that plan, you'll never be able to do that on your own. What's the next thing you got to do? Oh, it's a big one for Christians. Verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. You got to forget the past. You got to forget your past victories, your past disappointments, your past betrayals, your past sins, your past childhood troubles. I told my wife one year when we got ready to leave one year and go into the other, I said it was very rude, but I said to her, I am not going into next year but first. I'm not looking back anymore. We're going to look forward. You got to forget the past. It ties you down to the wrong things. Move on. I was preaching yesterday to some ladies, and the lady had a very traumatic childhood experience, and she's had trouble for the last 17 years trying to get over it. You know what I told her? Move on. Forget the past. She said, well, it's with me every day, because you stew in it. Get your mind on other things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Think on those things. And that past is not that way. Forget it. The next thing you need to do is, verse 13, is look to the future. Look to the future. Titus 2:13, we are looking for what? That blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's to look into the future. We got to get our minds onto what's coming, not what's been. And then finally, in verse 14, you got to press toward the mark. There's a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus waiting for you. There is something out there for you to do that cannot be done without the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Like Jesus Christ said, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And without me, you can do nothing. So there are nine ingredients in this text that we just read here of 11 verses, Philippians 3, 4 to 14, that you must do in order to be able to enjoy and have and rely upon and work in the power of Christ's resurrection. First thing you got to do is lose your religion like Christ lost Judaism and fulfilled it for Christianity. You got to know Christ personally like Christ knew his Father, and they were one in fellowship daily. You got to live by faith like Christ lived by faith. You've got to suffer like Christ suffered. You've got to die daily like Christ died on the cross. You've got to fulfill God's plan, that thing for which you were apprehended of Christ, like Christ fulfilled God's plan and said, it is finished. Paul said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. There's a plan, and if you've been delaying on God, there is a whole lot of time you got to make up for. Paul said in Ephesians, redeeming the time for the days of evil. You got to get on it. You've got to forget the past. You got to let that stuff go. You cannot fix it. It is over. Put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and move on. That's the only way you're going to enjoy the power of his resurrection, because the power of his resurrection was something future. It was something leaving the grave behind. He walked out of that grave. He ascended into heaven, and he's left that death, and he's left that burial, and he's left that crucifixion behind him. And you got to look to the future like he looked forward to being back with his Father when he prayed in John chapter 17, like you're going to pray about being together with him in the rapture and enjoying what he has for you to do today. And you got to press toward that mark with all of your might and all of your zeal, because every force of hell, every enemy of the devil, every worldly pleasure, every fleshly temptation is going to latch itself onto you like a leech and try to suck the Christian blood out of you to stop you from fulfilling the plan that God has for your life, where there is a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you've got to press toward that mark. And when you do those nine things, bless God, the power of Christ's resurrection will be on you, and you'll be able to work in that power and enjoy that power and rely upon that power to succeed in your Christian life. There it is.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number three, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.